Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Introducing Python, Modern Computing in Simple Packages, 2nd Edition, by Bill Lubanovic, narrated by Derek Dysart. Publisher's Note: This audiobook has bonus material. Please contact whomever you purchase this audiobook from to request the material. All figures, examples, and tables referenced in this audiobook can be found in the bonus material. Publisher's Note: Code examples and exercises can be found at github.com/madscheme/introducing-python. Preface: As the title promises, this book will introduce you to one of the world's most popular programming languages, Python. It's aimed at beginning programmers as well as more experienced programmers who want to add Python to the languages they already know. In most cases, it's easier to learn a computer language than a human language. There's less ambiguity and fewer exceptions to keep in your head. Python is one of the most consistent and clear computer languages. It balances ease of learning, ease of use, and expressive power. Computer languages are made of data, like nouns in a spoken language, and instructions or code, like verbs. You need both. In alternating chapters, you'll be introduced to Python's basic code and data structures, learn how to combine them, and build up to more advanced ones. The programs that you read and write will get longer and more complex. Using a woodworking analogy, we'll start with a hammer, nails, and scraps of wood. Over the first half of this book, we'll introduce more specialized components, up to the equivalents of lathes and other power tools. You'll not only learn the language, but also what to do with it. We'll begin with the Python language and its batteries included standard library, but I'll also tell you how to find, download, install, and use some good third-party packages. My emphasis is on whatever I've actually found useful in more than 10 years of production Python development, rather than fringe topics or complex hacks. Although this is an introduction, some advanced topics are included because I want to expose them to you. Areas like databases and the web are still covered, but technology changes fast. A Python programmer might now be expected to know something about cloud computing, machine learning, or even event streaming. You'll find something here on all of these. Python has some special features that work better than adapting styles from other languages that you may know. For example, using for and iterators is a more direct way of making a loop than manually incrementing some counter variable. When you're learning something new, it's hard to tell which terms are specific instead of colloquial, and which concepts are actually important. In other words, is this on the test? I'll explain terms and ideas that have specific meaning or importance in Python, but not too many at once. Real Python code is included early and often. Python isn't perfect. I'll explain things that seem odd or should be avoided and offer alternatives you can use instead. Now and then, my opinions on some subjects, such as object inheritance or MVC and REST designs for the web, may vary a bit from the common wisdom. See what you think. Audience: This book is for anyone interested in learning one of the world's most popular computing languages, regardless of whether you have previously learned any programming. Changes in the 2nd edition. What changed since the 1st edition? Longer, including cat pictures. Twice the chapters, each shorter now. An earlier chapter devoted to data types, variables, and names. New standard Python features like f-strings. New or improved third-party packages. New code examples throughout. An appendix on basic hardware and software for new programmers. An appendix on async I/O for not-so-new programmers. New stack coverage, containers, clouds, data science, and machine learning. hints on getting a job programming in Python. What hasn't changed? Examples using bad poetry and ducks. These are evergreen. Outline. Part 1, chapters 1 through 11, explains Python's basics. You should listen to these chapters in order. I work up from the simplest data and code structures, combining them on the way into more detailed and realistic programs. Part 2, chapters 12 through 22, covers how Python is used in specific application areas, such as the web, databases, networks, and so on. Listen to these chapters in any order you like. Here is a brief preview of the chapters and appendices, including some of the terms that you'll run into there. Chapter 1. A Taste of Pi. Computer programs are not that different from directions that you see every day. Some little Python programs give you a glimpse of the language's looks, capabilities, and uses in the real world. You'll learn how to run a Python program within its interactive interpreter, or shell, or from a text file saved on your computer. Chapter 2. Data. Types, values, variables, and names. Computer languages mix data and instructions. Different types of data are stored and treated differently by the computer. They may allow their values to be changed, mutable, or not, immutable. In a Python program, data can be literal, numbers like 78, text strings like waffle, or represented by named variables. Python treats variables like names, which is different from many other languages and has some important consequences. Chapter 3. Numbers. This chapter discusses Python's simplest data types, Booleans, integers, and floating-point numbers. You'll also learn the basic math operations. The examples use Python's interactive interpreter, like a calculator. Chapter 4. Choose with if. We'll bounce between Python's nouns, data types, and verbs, program structures, for a few chapters. Python code normally runs a line at a time, from the start to the end of a program. The if code structure lets you run different lines of code depending on some data comparison. Chapter 5. Text strings. Back to nouns and the world of text strings. Learn how to create, combine, change, retrieve, and print strings. Chapter 6. Loop with while and for. Verbs again, and two ways to make a loop, for and while. You'll be introduced to a core Python concept, iterators. Chapter 7. Tuples and lists. It's time for the first of Python's higher-level built-in data structures, lists and tuples. These are sequences of values, like Lego, for building much more complex data structures. Step through them with iterators and build lists quickly with comprehensions. Chapter 8. Dictionaries and Sets. Dictionaries, aka dicts, and sets let you save data by their values rather than their position. This turns out to be very handy and will be among your favorite Python features. Chapter 9. Functions. Weave the data and code structures of the previous chapters to compare, choose, or repeat. Package code in functions and handle errors with exceptions. Chapter 10. OO. Objects and classes. The word object is a bit fuzzy, but important in many computer languages, including Python. If you've done object-oriented programming in other languages, Python is a bit more relaxed. This chapter explains how to use objects and classes and when it's better to use alternatives. Chapter 11. Modules, packages, and goodies. This chapter demonstrates how to scale out larger code structures, modules, packages, and programs. You'll learn where to put code and data, how to get data in and out, handle options, tour the Python standard library, and take a glance at what lies beyond. Chapter 12. Wrangle and Mangle Data. Learn to manage or mangle data like a pro. This chapter is all about text and binary data, Joy with Unicode characters, and regex text searching. It also introduces the data types bytes and byte array, counterparts of strings that contain raw binary values instead of text characters. Chapter 13. Calendars and Clocks. Dates and times can be messy to handle. This chapter addresses common problems and useful solutions. Chapter 14. Files and Directories. Basic data storage uses files and directories. This chapter explains how to create and use them. Chapter 15. Data in Time, Processes, and Concurrency. This is the first hardcore system chapter. Its theme is data in time, how to use programs, processes, and threads to do more things at a time, concurrency. Python's recent async additions are mentioned with details in Appendix C. Chapter 16. Data in a Box, Persistent Storage. Data can be stored and retrieved with basic flat files and directories within file systems. They gain some structure with common text formats such as CSV, JSON, and XML. As data gets larger and more complex, they need the services of databases, traditional relational ones, and some newer NoSQL data stores. Chapter 17. Data in Space, Networks. Send your code and data through space in networks with services, protocols, and APIs. Examples range from low-level TCP sockets to messaging libraries and queuing systems to cloud deployment. Chapter 18. The Web Untangled. The web gets its own chapter: clients, servers, APIs, and frameworks. You'll crawl and scrape websites, and then build real websites with request parameters and templates. Chapter 19. Be a Pythonista. This chapter contains tips for Python developers: installation with pip and virtual env, using IDEs, testing, debugging, logging, source control, and documentation. It also helps you to find and install useful third-party packages, package your own code for reuse, and learn where to get more information. Chapter 12. PyArt. People are doing cool things with Python in the arts: graphics, music, animation, and games. Chapter 21. Py at Work. Python has specific applications for business: data visualization, plots, graphs and maps, security, and regulation. Chapter 22. PySci. In the past few years, Python has emerged as a top language for science, math and statistics, physical science, bioscience, and medicine. Data science and machine learning are notable strengths. This chapter touches on NumPy, SciPy, and Pandas. Appendix A: Hardware and Software for Beginning Programmers. If you're fairly new to programming, this describes how hardware and software actually work. It introduces some terms that you'll keep running into. Appendix B: Install Python 3. If you don't already have Python 3 on your computer, this appendix tells you how to install it, whether you're running Windows, Mac OS, Linux, or some other variant of Unix. Appendix C: Something Completely Different, Async. Python has been adding asynchronous features in different releases, and they're not easy to understand. I mention them as they come up in various chapters, but save a detailed discussion for this appendix. Appendix D, Answers to Exercises, which can be found in the accompanying bonus material. This has the answers to end-of-chapter exercises. Don't peek here until you've tried the exercises yourself, or you might be turned into a newt. Appendix E, Cheat Sheets, which can be found in the accompanying bonus material. This appendix contains cheat sheets to use as a quick reference. Python versions. Computer languages change over time as developers add features and fix mistakes. The examples in this book were written and tested while running Python version 3.7. Version 3.7 was the most current as this book was being edited, and I'll talk about its notable additions. Version 3.8 is scheduled for general release in late 2019, and I'll include a few things to expect from it. If you want to know what was added to Python and when, try the What's New in Python page. It's a technical reference, a bit heavy when you're just getting started with Python, but may be useful in the future if you ever have to get programs to work on computers with different Python versions. Using code examples. The substantial code examples and exercises in this book are available online for you to download, found at github.com/madscheme/introducing-python. This book is here to help you get your job done. In general, you may use the code in this book in your programs and documentation. You do not need to contact us for permission unless you're reproducing a significant portion of the code. For example, writing a program that uses several chunks of code from this book does not require permission. Selling or distributing examples from O'Reilly Books does require permission. Answering a question by citing this book and quoting example code does not require permission. Incorporating a significant amount of example code from this book into your product's documentation does require permission. We appreciate but do not require attribution. An attribution usually includes the title, author, publisher, and ISBN. If you feel your use of code example falls outside fair use or the permission given here, feel free to contact us at permissions@O'Reilly.com. O'Reilly Online Learning. For over 40 years, O'Reilly Media has provided technology and business training, knowledge, and insight to help companies succeed. Our unique network of experts and innovators share their knowledge and expertise through books, articles, conferences, and our online learning platform. O'Reilly's online learning platform gives you on-demand access to live training courses, in-depth learning paths, interactive coding environments, and a vast collection of text and video from O'Reilly and 200-plus other publishers. For more information, please visit O'Reilly.com. How to contact us. Please address comments and questions concerning this book to the publisher. We have a web page for this book where we list errata, examples, and any additional information. You can access this page at the URL oreil.ly/introducing-python-2e. To comment or ask technical questions about this book, send an email to bookquestions@O'Reilly.com. For more information about our books, courses, conferences, and news, see our website at O'Reilly.com. Find us on Facebook, found at Facebook.com/O'Reilly. Follow us on Twitter, Twitter.com/O'Reilly Media. Watch us on YouTube, found at YouTube.com/O'Reilly Media. Part 1. Python Basics. Chapter 1. A Taste of Pi. Only ugly languages become popular. Python is the one exception. Don Knuth. Mysteries. Let's begin with two mini-mysteries and their solutions. What do you think the following means? Row 1. RS, K18, comma, SSK, comma, K1, comma, turn work. Row 2. WS. SL1 PYs, comma, P5, comma, P2 TOG, comma, P1, comma, turn. It seems technical, like some kind of computer program. Actually, it's a knitting pattern, specifically a fragment describing how to turn the heel of a sock, like the one in Figure 1-1, which can be found in the accompanying bonus material. This makes as much sense to me as a Sudoku puzzle does to one of my cats, but my wife understands it perfectly. If you're a knitter, you do too. Let's try another mysterious message found on an index card. You'll figure out its purpose right away, although you might not know its final product. 1/2 cup butter or margarine. 1/2 cup cream. 2.5 cups of flour. 1 teaspoon of salt. 1 tablespoon of sugar. 4 cups of rice potatoes, cold. Be sure all ingredients are cold before adding flour. Mix all ingredients. Knead thoroughly. Form into 20 balls. Store cold until the next step. For each ball, spread flour on cloth. Roll ball into a circle with a grooved rolling pin. Fry on griddle until brown spots appear. Turn over and fry other side. Even if you don't cook, you probably recognize that it's a recipe, a list of food ingredients followed by directions for preparation. But what does it make? It's lefse, a Norwegian delicacy that resembles a tortilla. See Figure 1-2. Slather on some butter and jam or whatever you like, roll it up, and enjoy. The knitting pattern and the recipe share some features. A regular vocabulary of words, abbreviations, and symbols. Some might be familiar, others mystifying. Rules about what can be said and where. Syntax. A sequence of operations to be performed in order. Sometimes a repetition of some operations, a loop, such as the method for frying each piece of lefse. Sometimes a reference to another sequence of operations, in computer terms, a function. In the recipe, you might need to refer to another recipe for ricing potatoes. Assumed knowledge about the context. The recipe assumes that you know what water is and how to boil it. The knitting pattern assumes that you can knit and purl without stabbing yourself too often. Some data to be used, created, or modified. Potatoes and yarn. The tools used to work with the data. Pots, mixers, ovens, knitting sticks. An expected result. In our examples, something for your feet and something for your stomach. Just don't mix them up. Whatever you call them, idioms, jargon, little languages, you see examples of them everywhere. The lingo saves time for people who know it, well, mystifying the rest of us. Try deciphering a newspaper column about bridge if you don't play the game, or a scientific paper if you're not a scientist, or even if you are, but in a different field. Little programs. You'll see all of these ideas in computer programs, which themselves are like little languages, specialized for humans to tell computers what to do. I use the knitting pattern and recipe to demonstrate that programming isn't that mysterious. It's largely a matter of learning the right words and the rules. Now, it helps greatly if there aren't too many words and rules, and if you don't need to learn too many of them at once. Our brains can only hold so much at one time. Let's finally discuss a real computer program. See Example 1-1. What do you think this does? If you guess that it's a Python program that prints lines, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hey, then you know that Python can be easier to learn than a recipe or knitting pattern. And you can practice writing Python programs from the comfort and safety of your desk, far from the hazards of hot water and pointy sticks. The Python program has some special words and symbols, for, in, print, commas, colons, parentheses, and so on, that are important parts of the language's syntax or rules. The good news is that Python has a nicer syntax and less of it to remember than most computer languages. It seems more natural, almost like a recipe. Example 1-2 is another tiny Python program. It selects one Harry Potter spell from a Python list and prints it. The individual spells are Python strings, sequences of text characters enclosed in quotes. They are separated by commas and enclosed in a Python list that is defined by enclosing square brackets. The word spells is a variable that gives the list a name so that we can do things with it. In this case, the program would print the fourth spell, Aspecto Patronum. Why did we say three if we wanted the fourth? A Python list, such as spells, is a sequence of values accessed by their offset from the beginning of the list. The first value is at offset 0, and the fourth value is at offset 3. Note: people count from 1, so it might seem weird to count from 0. It helps to think in terms of offsets instead of positions. Yes, this is an example of how computer programs sometimes differ from common language usage. Lists are very common data structures in Python, and Chapter 7 explains how to use them. The program in Example 1-3 prints a quote from one of the Three Stooges, but referenced by who said it rather than its position in a list. If you were to run this little program, it would print the following. Curly says, "Nyuk nyuk." Quotes is a variable that names a Python dictionary, a collection of unique keys, in this example the name of the stooge, and associated values, here a notable saying of that stooge. Using a dictionary, you can store and look up things by name, which is often a useful alternative to a list. The spells example used square brackets to make a Python list, and the quotes example used curly brackets, which are no relation to curly, to make a Python dictionary. Also, a colon is used to associate each key in the dictionary with its value. You can hear much more about dictionaries in Chapter 8. That wasn't too much syntax at once, I hope. In the next few chapters, you'll encounter more of these little rules, a bit at a time. A bigger program. And now for something completely different. Example 1-4 presents a Python program performing a more complex series of tasks. Don't expect to understand how the program works yet. That's what this book is for. The intent is to introduce you to a typical non-trivial Python program. If you know other computer languages, evaluate how Python compares. Even without knowing Python yet, you can roughly figure out what each line does before hearing the explanation after the program. You've already been exposed to examples of a Python list and a dictionary, and this throws in a few more features. In earlier printings of this book, the sample program connected to a YouTube website and retrieved information on its most highly rated videos, like Charlie Bit My Finger. It worked well until shortly after the ink was dry on the second printing. That's when Google dropped support for this service and the Marquee sample program stopped working. Our new example 1-4 goes to another site which should be around longer, the Wayback Machine at the Internet Archive, a free service that has saved billions of web pages and movies, TV shows, music, games, and other digital artifacts over 20 years. You'll hear more examples of such web APIs in Chapter 18. The program will ask you to type a URL and a date. Then, it asks the Wayback Machine if it has a copy of that website around that date. If it found one, it returns the information to this Python program, which prints the URL and displays it in your web browser. The point is to show how Python handles a variety of tasks. Get your typed input, communicate across the internet to a website, give back some content, extract a URL from it, and convince your web browser to display that URL. If we got back a normal web page full of HTML formatted text, we would need to figure out how to display it, which is a lot of work that we happily
sample complete. Ready to continue?